Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi ajma'in. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of all prophets of Allah, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Likewise, that of his family and companions, all of them in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows. Then we thank Allah Ta'ala, the one who has gathered us here locally, here in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at Al Masjid Al Awwal on this Saturday afternoon, the 10th day of the month of Dhul Qi'dah, in the year 1437, and we are online via telelink with our respected brothers and sisters in the cities of Florida, of South Florida, through the coordinated broadcast of our brothers at the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida, and those associated with the broadcast and the recording and the online class. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us and them success in our affairs, pure intentions and good solid actions that he loves and is pleased with. We return to our study of Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, the three principles, by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab At-Tamimi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And after discussing in detail in our last class the issue of tawakkul, placing one's trust upon Allah and upon others, and the relative rulings, meaning the tawheed, the legislated nature of placing one's trust fully upon Allah, and the polytheistic concept of placing one's trust upon other than Allah with tawakkul, and then what is exempted from that and what is allowed from that. After that very important discussion, we move on to a number of new issues today. Issues of raghba, rahba, khushu' and khashyah. Raghba being hope, rahba being fear, that is motivating fear, and khushu' being humility in submissiveness, the humility of submissiveness, and khashya, the fear, knowledge-based fear. These matters are more acts of worship that are connected directly to the heart of the believer, very important to know about, as they are due to Allah Ta'ala as acts of worship, and allowing them to be directed to other than Allah lands a person into polytheism in acts that are kind of subtle and perhaps undetectable for a person who is not paying attention to his heart and the actions and situation of his heart. And may Allah Ta'ala make us people who are sensitive regarding the affairs of our hearts, people who pay attention and review matters of our hearts. As the early Salaf, they used to say, out of all things, there's nothing more difficult for me to get control of and to, you know, to watch over than the heart. The heart being a very difficult matter, a very difficult body part to gain mastery over and to get control of. And that is because the hearts of the servants are where? Between two of Allah's fingers, and He turns them about as He wishes. We ask Allah Ta'ala to turn our hearts upon obedience and tawheed, the worship of Him alone. Today's reading from the explanation of the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on him, begins on page 59 with the text of Al Usul Al Thalatha, and that is, وَدَلِيلُ الرَّغْبَةِ وَالرَّهْبَةِ وَالْخُشُوعِ. And the evidence for these three matters of raghba, anticipation, hope, looking forward to with great anticipation, that's raghba, having anticipation or inclination towards something, and rahba, like a dreadful fear, a terrible fear of something, and khushu' and submission in action, submission of one's heart and submission of limbs, and humility in that submission. These three matters are acts of worship, and the evidence for them قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى is the statement of Allah the Most High. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ Verily, they were racing one another in the accomplishment of good things, good deeds. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَابًا And they were calling upon us. These are righteous believers. They were calling upon us. رَغَبًا and رَهَابًا Out of رَغْبَةً and رَهْبَةً In ambition and hope for good and out of fear of harm and fear of punishment. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ And they were, the righteous servants, in their relationship with us, and Allah uses the royal plural, in their relationship with Allah, خَاشِعِينَ People of khushu', submissiveness and humility in that submission. As Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, he stated, الرَّغْبَةُ The word raghbah, anticipation and hope, mahabbatul wusuli ila shay'il mahbub. It is the yearning, the love for arriving at something that you love. Anticipation and hope. Wa rahbah, and the word rahbah is, he says, al khawfu al muthmiru lil harabi min al mukhawwaf. It is that fear that produces the fruit of fleeing from the thing you fear. فَهِيَ خَوْفٌ مَقْرُونٌ بِعَمَلٍ So it is fear that is tied with action. A fear that produces a result of action. Now you might be saying, well, how do you run away from Allah? As it relates to your rahba, your dreadful fear of something in this dunya, then you stay away from it. But as it relates to your fear of Allah Ta'ala, then how do you run from the punishment and anger of Allah? By running towards Him. This is an exclusive kind of rahba, that for everything else, your fear leads you to running away and becoming more distant. Yet with Allah Ta'ala, لا ملجأ منك إلا إليك. There's no ملجأ, there's no place of لجوء, there's no place of refuge from you except to you. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide except towards Allah Ta'ala, seeking refuge with Allah Ta'ala. Al-khushu'u, the Shaykh says, and humility of servitude and submission is al-dhullu wa tatamun li'azamati Allah. It is lowering oneself in humility in a peaceful and tranquil way li'azamati Allah, to the greatness of Allah. بِحَيْثُ يَسْتَسْلِمُ لِقَضَائِهِ الْكَوْنِ وَالشَّرْعِ In how a person submits to the verdicts of Allah that are both kawni and shar'i. Kawni as it relates to this universe and everything that happens. Meaning, when we say the qada of Allah al-kawni, the kawni qadr or qada means trials, tribulations, things of good and bad, all that affects you, everything. Hurricanes, tornadoes, death, all negative things, all of that being from the qadr of Allah. Otherwise we would say there must be another creator who creates the evil events that happen in the life that we live in. Rather, Allah Ta'ala is the one who brings about the qadr, the good and the bad of it, from the hadith of Jibreel. وَأَن تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ And that you believe in the qadr, the good and the bad of it, that's the qadr kawni. As for the qadr shar'i, that which Allah requests from you, that which He requires you to fulfill and recommends you to fulfill of obligations and recommendations, then there's no evil in this at all. This is the legislation. This is all good for the person. This is every bit of benefit. This is where it's not allowed to say there's bad in the qadr. If you mean the qadr shar'i, that which Allah legislated. وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ And evil is not to you, meaning to your qadr. Shar'i, to your legislative qadr, your rulings, and what you legislated and requested from the people. So here in khushu', you submit yourself with humility, with lowliness, to all of the qadr of Allah, whether that qadr is rulings in Islam, the obligation of doing such and such. A person comes to Islam and he's left-handed, and he's told we eat with our right hand. So he submits to the qadr of Allah, al-shar'i. He submits to the rulings of Allah, the legislative rulings of Allah. He submits with humility, And he says, I use my left hand to eat, but I've submitted as a Muslim now. And I'm told now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded that we eat with our right hand. So he says, I put aside what I would wish to do in this case. And in this one issue, I use my right hand because that's been commanded by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he submits to the qadr or the qada shar'i, the legislative rulings. And he also submits to the qada kawni, all the things that happen. He gets into a car accident and loses some of his health, loses a limb or something. He submits and he says, this is something written upon me. I submit to it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. I belong to Allah and to Him I shall return. This is the qadr of Allah and He does whatever He wants. So he submits to the qadr and he doesn't say what? Why me? Why have you taken my limb? Why have you taken my eyesight? Why have you taken my wife? Rather he submits to both the qadr, kawni and shar'i. Then the shaykh says about the verse, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. The righteous servants of Allah were dutiful and racing each other, competing with each other towards good things. وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they called upon us in hope and in fear. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. And they were towards Allah, towards us, خَاشِعِينَ, humble in their submission. The shaykh says, فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ. In this noble verse, وَصْفُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْخُلَّصَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, is the description provided by Allah the Most High for the khullas, for the most select of His servants, مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, the khaliseen, those who are pure and the best and most sincere of His servants, the khullas. بِأَنَّهُمْ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا مَعَ الْخُشُوعِ لَهُ, that they would call upon Allah the Most High with raghbah, with anticipation and hope, and with rahaba, with fear, dreadful fear of harm and punishment. مَعَ الْخُشُوعِ لَهُ, along with submissiveness, humility of submission to Him. وَالدُّعَاءُ هُنَا شَامِلٌ. And the dua being mentioned here, the supplication, includes, it's all inclusive. لِدُعَاءِ الْعِبَادَةِ وَدُعَاءِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. It includes both types of dua. Dua al-ibadah and dua al-mas'ala. Examples, locally, give me examples. Dua al-ibadah, the dua of worship. Give me an example. One that's not dua al-mas'ala, the dua of a request. Alhamdulillah. From the best dua that you can make is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is a dua. Alhamdulillah. What are you asking for? Nothing. You're praising Allah. This is called dua al-ibadah. And give me an example of dua al-mas'ala, the dua of a request. All right, give us righteous children, and there are many, right? When you ask for anything, give us righteous family and children, forgive us, have mercy on us. You are asking for something. That's dua al-mas'ala. The reason why the ulama mentioned this is to help you understand some texts that you might think are difficult to understand. The best dua that the Prophet and all previous prophets ever said on the day of Arafat. What is it? Day of Arafat's coming up. Less than 1 month now. La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He's alone, having no partners. To Him belongs the dominion, and to Him is all praise. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And He is fully capable of all things. What have you asked for? You've just praised Allah. You've just mentioned His magnificence, His power, His capabilities, His sole rights to be worshipped alone, that He has no partner in that. But you haven't asked for anything. But that's the best dua that can be said on the day of Arafat. That is dua. If you didn't know that dua could include just praises of Allah, you would say here, there's something wrong with this hadith. How is this the best dua? And there's no request at all. It's the best dua because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the one who informs us about what is most beloved to Allah and most appropriate for certain situations. And in this case, the best dua is dua al-ibadah. At another peak of our deen, another high time where we aspire for the greatest of all accomplishments would be like in Ramadan. What do we look for in Ramadan? Laylat al-Qadr. If we were to catch Laylat al-Qadr, there's a dua from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is it? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are the afu, the one who excuses. And you love to excuse, so excuse me. Which kind of dua is this? Dua al-ibadah or dua al-mas'ala? Dua al-mas'ala. Here's a request. I want excused. I'm asking for something. So in this occasion, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that that is the most appropriate, the best dua for one who wishes to catch Laylat al-Qadr, the night of power. So we have sometimes dua al-mas'ala, sometimes dua al-ibadah, and that's how Allah Ta'ala loves to be worshipped. We only know that from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says here, the dua, meaning the praiseworthy dua that the believers make when they call upon Allah in hope and in fear and in submission, it is both kinds of dua. Whenever they pray to Allah to extol Him and to praise Him, and whenever they pray to Allah to make a request, in all cases they what? They have hope, they have fear, and they have submission, humility in their submission. فَهُمْ يَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ رَغْبَةً فِيمَا عِنْدَهُ وَطَمَعًا فِي ثَوَابِهِ. They call upon Allah with anticipation and hope for what He has, and in hope for His reward. مَعَ خَوْفِهِمْ مِنْ عِقَابِهِ وَآثَارِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. Along with the fear that they have of His punishment and the effects of their own sins. وَالْمُؤْمِنُ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَسْعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَاءِ. The believer, it's important, it's befitting, it's incumbent upon him that he strive to draw near to Allah the Most High between these two states of hope and fear. وَيُغَلِّبُ الرَّجَاءَ فِي جَانِبِ الطَّاعَةِ لِيَنْشَطَ عَلَيْهَا. And that he tried to make the angle of his hope overtake the other thing, meaning become more prominent than fear when it comes to obedience. So that he could what? Become more active, hoping for reward. وَيُؤَمِّنُ قَبُولَهَا. And so he could hope for the acceptance of his action of obedience. وَيُغَلِّبَ الْخَوْفَ. And that he make fear become more predominant in his interaction. إِذَا هَمَّ بِالْمَعْصِيَّةِ. If he has an inclination towards disobedience. لِيَهْرَبَ مِنْهَا. In order to flee from that. وَيَنْجُوَ مِنْ عِقَابِهَا. In order to escape and to reach salvation from the punishment for that sinful behavior. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And some of the scholars have said, يُغَلِّبُ جَانِبَ الرَّجَاءِ فِي حَالِ الْمَرَضِ. He should emphasize and give priority to رَجَاء, hope, and anticipation of reward at the time of his illness. وَجَانِبَ الْخَوْفِ فِي حَالِ الصِّحَّةِ. And when he is healthy and, you know, in a good state, then he should give a priority to and emphasize fear in his actions, fear of Allah. Why? لِأَنَّ الْمَرِيضَ مُنْكَسِرٌ ضَعِيفٌ نَفْسِ. Because a sick person, he's broken hearted and weak spirited. وَعَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبَ أَجَلُهُ فَيَمُوتُ. And it's possible that the end of his life is approached and he's going to die. وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. Whilst he is thinking well of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَفِي حَالِ الصِّحَّةِ يَكُونُ نَشِيطًا مُؤَمِّنًا طُولَ الْبَقَاءِ. And when he is healthy, he assumes that he's going to be active, healthy, and looking forward to a full, long life. فَيَحْمِلُهُ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْأَشَرِ وَالْبَطَرِ. That brings him into what? Arrogance and haughtiness. فَيُغَلِّبُ جَانِبَ الْخَوْفِ لِيَسْلَمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So in this case, he should try to emphasize fear. He should try to be more fearful than hopeful in times of good health and prosperity, so as to be safe from the arrogance and the haughtiness. The person who's rich, lots of money, healthy, good health, everything he has there in times of prosperity, no hardships befalling him, he should emphasize in his life the fear of Allah. And he should read about the punishment of Allah. He should fear for the effects of his sins. He should fear ingratitude to Allah. He should educate himself and remind himself to be fearful of Allah at this time. That's the practical way to implement this advice here. And when he's ill, and he's got a disease, he's got something that's terminal, he's got something, you know, very serious illness, then he should be reminded about, and he should focus on what? That Allah is forgiving, that Allah is merciful, and that Allah accepts from His servants and hears their call, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't want them to be harmed, and He wants ease for them, and so on. So he puts forth and he emphasizes in his life the angle of raja, of hope and anticipation. Thinking well of Allah, thinking good and looking forward to rewards for his deeds. Now, and this is advice from a number of scholars that I've heard outside of what the Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen has mentioned here, and he said, قَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, some of the scholars have mentioned. نعم. وَقِيلَ يَكُونُ رَجَاءُهُ وَخَوْفُهُ وَاحِدًا. And other scholars have said, he says, قِيل, and it's also been said, that his raja and his khawf, his hope and his fear, واحد, and it should be one, they should be equal always. He should always try to balance out the hope and the fear equally at all stages of his life. سَوَاءً, always, in every case, equally. لِأَلَّا يَحْمِلُهُ الرَّجَاءُ عَلَى الْأَمَنِ مِنْ مَكِّرِ اللَّهِ. So as not to, meaning here in parentheses, even in a state of weakness or illness, so not to allow himself to fall into a feeling of security, a feeling of safety from the planning of Allah, from the qadr of Allah. So he feels as if he is protected and safe from what Allah may have for him of misguidance. لأن لا يحمله الرجاء على الأمن من مكر الله والخوف على اليأس من رحمة الله. And as well, so that doesn't lead him into giving up in the mercy of Allah when he thinks too much about fear. وكلاهما قبيح مهلك لصاحبه. And both of these matters, becoming imbalanced with too much hope and not enough fear, as well as being imbalanced with too much fear and not enough hope, they are both terrible and destructive for the person who has that imbalance. We ask Allah Ta'ala for balance of character and the balance of the heart. In the text, and we'll take Al-Khashya as well today, the author, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he stated, وَدَلِيلُ الْخَشْيَةِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence for khashya, knowledge-based fear, being an act of worship, is the statement of Allah the Most High, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. And do not fear them, but rather fear me. From Surah Al-Baqarah, the 150th verse. Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, stated in explanation of this passage, Al-Khashyatu hiya, the definition of khashya, as I've translated it, knowledge-based fear, you'll see in the explanation of the Shaykh, الخوف المبني على العلم, that fear which is built upon knowledge, بعظمة من يخشاه, based on understanding the greatness of the one he fears, وكمال سلطانه, and the completeness of his authority, لقول الله تعالى, and that is due to the statement of Allah the Most High, إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Verily, the only ones who fear Allah of His servants are al-ulama, the scholars. From Surah Fatir, verse number 28. Ay, and this means al-ulama'u bi'azamatihi, those who are knowledgeable regarding His greatness. Wa kamali sultanihi, and they know about the perfection and completeness of His authority. Fahiya akhassu min al-khawf. So khashya is more specific than the fear that is found in the word khawf. And khawf is another word for fear. وَيَتَّضِحُ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَهُمَا, and the distinction between the two, between khawf and khashya, becomes clear بِالْمِثَال, through examples. فإذا خفت من شخص لا تدري هل هو قادر عليك أم لا. So if you were to be afraid of a person and you're not sure if he's able to harm you or not, it's just an unknown factor. You don't know this person and how capable he is to harm you. فهذا خوف. This is fear. From the word خوف. This is خوف. وَإِذَا خِفْتَ مِنْ شَخْصٍ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَيْكَ فَهَذِهِ خَشْيَةٌ. But if you fear a person with knowledge that you know how he can harm you and how he can get you, then this is خَشْيَة. This is a fear that is based on knowledge. Right? You know the situation, you know the person. وَيُقَالُ فِي أَقْسَامِ أَحْكَامِ الْخَشْيَةِ. And it's to be said about the different kinds of khashya and the rulings related to them. مَا يُقَالُ فِي أَقْسَامِ أَحْكَامِ الْخَوْفِ. What was already stated about the different categories of khawf and the rulings related to those categories. So just before we close, we'll review that. We said there's something in our lesson about khawf, fear. There's something called khawfun tabi'i, natural fear. What does that refer to? Fear of heights, fear of dangerous animals, predatory animals, fear of someone with a weapon, just aiming the weapon at you. The fear of regular things that your heart will tremble with some fear, but it's not your action. You're not choosing to do that. It's a natural response to a real danger. So then this is something you're not questioned about. You're not asked about this kind of fear. Fear can overtake you. In this case, natural fear, and it's not an act of worship. It's a real fear that's hitting your heart, but it is not an act of worship. It is natural and it is excused. Unless, it was the exception mentioned by the Shaykh, it's not excused if something happens. If it leads you into shirk, of course, impermissible behavior. The person is led into, you know, he's afraid of someone causing harm to him, so he begins to disobey Allah in order to make that person pleased with him. This is impermissible, and this is possible that this could lead a person into polytheism. That he fears someone with a fear that motivates him to action in a way that overtakes, you know, his obedience to Allah and his loyalty to the rulings of Allah Ta'ala. That could, in some cases, take a person outside of Islam. Otherwise, it is sinful. At least it is sinful that a person disobeys Allah in fear of another person. To make an exception from an exception, we could say he would be excused from this type of fear and acting in a sinful way in some cases. How would that be? Out of coercion, right? When someone is forced into doing something against his will and he fears death or he fears torture or he fears real harm, then he may do something that is non-transgressive involving his rights or the rights of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not involving the rights of other people. He may not kill someone else to avoid being killed, but he may do something regarding his own rights, and he may say something which is not permissible to say about Allah if he is under coercion. He may say words that he would never say from his own choice about Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know from the story of Ammar, his people wanted him to what? To say words of abuse about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he feared for his life, and so he said some things. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed in Surah An-Nahl, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ. Whoever disbelieves in Allah after having iman, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Except for the one who is coerced whilst his heart is stable and peacefully tranquil with iman. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. However, the one who has voluntarily, with his own choice, has had his own chest expanded to accept disobedience, or disbelief, sorry, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And upon those people there is the anger of Allah, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And they shall have a great punishment. The 106th verse of Surah An-Nahl. And that's regarding coercion, and someone even saying a statement of insult, mockery, or abuse about Allah or His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is normally something that would nullify your religion, to say a statement of being dissatisfied with Allah as your Lord. or to ridicule or mock Allah or His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these matters would nullify your religion unless you are being coerced, as this verse identifies for us. So that's natural fear. What about the khawf, which is ibadah, that which is due to Allah Ta'ala alone, that you fear the punishment of the person. You fear the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, and therefore you allow this fear to make you active in seeking out a means to protect yourself. That is the fear of Allah Ta'ala, that is an act of worship, and we are not allowed to fear others in this way, that which is an act of worship. So we have khawfun shar'i and khawfun tabi'i, a natural fear, and then we have that fear which is what? An act of worship. Then there's khawfun khafi as well, like tawakkulun sirri or tawakkul sirr, the sublime hidden kind of khawf, when a person fears some event, some people, their reactions, their opinions, and things like this, that which motivates a person into acts of riya, into acts of showing off. He fears their displeasure, so he behaves a certain way in order to make them happy with him. And this is at least minor shirk. If it overtakes a person, then it becomes major shirk, that all he does is to make the people happy with him. Then he is someone who worships the people, and he's not worshiping Allah Ta'ala with the generality of his actions. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. This is a brief review of issues of fear. All of this can be said about khashya as well, knowledge-based fear. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. If there is a correction or a question or a concern from our brothers in Florida, firstly, we can hear that before we close, insha'Allah Ta'ala. You're talking about American politics, and American politics based on their democratic system is something that the Muslims despise and hate. That is that the people themselves select their leaders and they make decisions about their government as the majority vote. And the Muslims believe what Allah Ta'ala has revealed, that the majority of the people are astray and the majority of the people are not upon guidance. And that is the system that is doomed for failure from its inception. And so if some people were looking at it like we have to be involved because we have to pick the lesser of two evils, or we have to find some good and all of that, I would advise you, as an American who was raised in America, that you avoid wasting your time with the American political process, and that you invest your time in learning your religion. You invest your time in that which there is definitely benefit, learning the book of Allah, learning the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for engaging in these political processes, wallahi, this time, this year, and this election, and the foolishness that has reached, should be a lesson for every person who had raja, who had hope in the American political system. The kind of debauchery, the circus type of behavior that is going on between presidential candidates in this era should be a reminder to all people who thought that these people are respectable and these people have a system that is worth, you know, spending your time and efforts in support of and in finding some benefit from. We advise our Muslim brothers and sisters everywhere to turn away from these matters and focus on things that provide them with benefit. Have hope in the reward for your deeds. Have hope in Allah Ta'ala turning your heart towards His obedience. Have hope in these kinds of matters, that which is tremendously beneficial, and leave off wasting your time, wasting your lives, wasting your money in support of and in following of the latest debaucheries found in the political circus that's going on around you. It is something that the non-Muslim leaders use to busy the minds and the lives of their sheeple with. It's not befitting for a Muslim to fall into such foolishness. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Correction, question, or concern locally? Every dua mas'ala has dua al-ibadah in it, to be clear. Because the sunnah of dua, when you ask for something, is what? You praise Allah. So, in general, the guidance that we find in the book and the sunnah for dua al-mas'ala is that you begin with dua al-ibadah. So in another way to understand it, you could say every dua is dua al-ibadah, and that terminology should not lead you to believe that dua al-mas'ala is not ibadah. Of course it's ibadah, and it includes dua al-ibadah, right? Even you saying Allahumma or Ya Rabbi, you're acknowledging the lordship of Allah and calling upon Allah by His names and attributes. So even in that there is dua al-ibadah. So from the generality of looking at dua being dua al-mas'ala and dua al-ibadah, every dua al-mas'ala begins with dua al-ibadah. But not every dua al-ibadah has a request. So there are some pure just praising Allah is as dua. Within that there is a request, but it's not stated. The request is understood. What's the request? When you say Allahumma laka al-hamd wa laka al-shukr, and you say after salah, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta dhal jalali wal ikram. Is there a request that's insinuated with dua al-ibadah? Of course there is. I am your worshipper, and I'm worshipping you, and I'm praising you. And in that, at the very least, I'm hoping for your mercy and your forgiveness and entrance to your paradise, and I'm fleeing from your anger and against arrogance in not returning to you, and so on. So I'm submitting to you as a Muslim. So in the insinuated meaning is, at least here I am as a servant worshipping you, I hope for your forgiveness. Like that. That's in any time when you just praise Allah. All right? And Allah Ta'ala knows best.